And welcome to the Swearingen living room, or the faux Swearingen living room. This has been a tradition that we started several years ago. For those of you who are new to the church this year, we've been doing this for I don't know how many years now, but I've got several agendas from all the years previous, and we do very similar things from year to year. But in talking to the Sunday School Ministries Board and some things, we wanted to try to change a few things up, so we're trying to add a couple of new things this year that we want to do, and so we hope that it will be an enjoyable time to you. It is indeed a time of worship. This is a congregational worship service, and we want you to participate and to be a part, and so you'll kind of understand that as we go through the flow of the regular service, but it is also a time for our family to say Merry Christmas to your family and for us to participate together as families. And so just so you kind of know what's going on, because I even get surprised once in a while. And through the years, when my kids were smaller, they were all here. It was our family on the platform, and the kids had different things that they would do, and they waited all year long just to get to this Sunday and to be a part of this. They just anticipated it eagerly and rejoiced when it was over. So I'm the one that looks forward to it. But through the years, as our kids have gone and gone various places, then we've had the privilege and the honor of having, most of those years as well, some of our other family members. And so I have recruited them to help me to fill in the blanks where all of our children are in other places. And Nathan's due to fly in this afternoon about 3:30, and then Hannah, I think, is due back home around Tuesday, and Will and Larissa are due to come in on Wednesday. So it looks like we will all get to be together on Christmas Day, and that's always exciting. We're always glad that Cody and Heather are right here close by, and Remy. But it's great to have family who are part of your church and part of your congregation all the time. And so, just in case you didn't know, this is my cousin Debbie, my cousin Cheryl, and Dallas is a surprise addition this morning. This is Cheryl's daughter. Cheryl's... It's a real surprise. It's a real surprise.
Sitting down there now.
No, this is... See, you got me all flushed. I'm so excited that you're here. I can't even think straight. So, no, I really am excited because Dallas has been kind of gone from home for several years, obviously. He is a French teacher. And
At Ozark,
the enemy. So, anyway, that is Stephen Cheryl's son. They do have a daughter, but that's not her. And so we're glad that Dallas made it in this morning and has consented to come. I've even put him to work. He's going to be reading a reading for us later, and we appreciate that so very much. And so it's great to have Dallas with us. My sister Sue, you're in my chair. Oh, okay. Well, now we see who's in charge of the platform. This is my grandson Remy, and GMA's supposed to sit where he is. She's close to him, so I'll have to adjust my gold frankincense and myrrh box. So, anyway, I think you know my wife Jennifer, and then our grandson Remy, our daughter-in-law Heather, and our oldest son Cody. And so that is the Swearingen family that is here this morning. We want to worship, and Steve is back. Yeah, Steve Cheryl's husband, is back in the back corner. He was not really too excited about being on the platform this morning, so... So anyway, glad you're here, Steve. Thanks for coming. And we're glad for all of you to be here because you are our church family, and we love you and appreciate you. And we're here today not to put on any kind of a show, but we're here to share and to worship together the great gift that God has given to us. And so thanks for coming and being a part of this service. We just remind you that if you will keep your eye on the bulletin, you will see the things that are coming up. The office indeed will be closed this week. But we remind you that there will be service here Wednesday evening. And Cody is going to be leading the service Wednesday evening. A very special presentation. I've not even got to see it, but I've heard really good things about it, called The 12 Words of Christmas by Louis Giglio, who's a great Bible teacher. And so you'll enjoy that. So come 6:30 on Wednesday evening, and Cody will be leading that study in the fellowship hall on Wednesday evening. And then, indeed, we will be in a regular schedule of services next Sunday as well. Sunday school 9:30, church at 10:40. And then we will also have dog's dinner for those of you who would want to stay. We know that it's Christmas weekend. It's a couple of days after. But, indeed, if you have family and you can't stay, we understand that. We want you to be with family and do whatever you need to do there. But for those of you who might not have family in and would like to be with church family, we will have dog's dinner after the service, and then there is no evening service on the 27th, so that if you have family and you can't spend as much time as possible with them. So we are thrilled. This is a family church. We want people of all ages, and we are glad that you are here to worship with us this morning. So thank you for coming, and I'm going to ask Cody, if he will, to lead us in prayer. We're going to ask our ushers to come, and at the conclusion of that prayer, then Cheryl's going to sing the offertory, and we'll receive your tithes and offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this time to come together as not only just immediate family, Lord, but as the family that we are through Christ in this church. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with those that aren't here with us today. Some of them are enjoying their own family things on this weekend before Christmas, Lord. But I pray that today, that as we do some things that we've done many, many times in the past, and some of them turn out to be traditions, Lord, that you would just bless this service, that you would bless the things that we have to share, and that we can just enjoy worshiping together, Lord, and just bless this offering. Amen.
My days are filled with laughter. My heart has known your peace. I've traveled far, still there is far to go. For in my heart there is a longing to look upon your face. Where you are is where I want to be. Of Abraham, the Holy One, God's only Son, you are the King of who I am. Every road I've traveled down, you have walked before me. You've made your light to shine out through my darkness. And I'm longing for the day when I will stand before you, take my crown and lay it at your feet.
Oh, hey, let me see what's going on here. Hey, guys, how you doing? Come on in. My goodness, look at all these kids and all these wonderful parents. What brings you out on this fine day? All right, come on in. You guys, yeah, you can stand or have a seat, whatever you want to do there. Make yourselves at home. So, why have you come today?
Sing
some carols. Well, that'd be great. We'll be glad. Can we sing along? All right. So you guys stand and lead us in some carols and sing along with us, folks.
We're going to do the reading first. That's right.
Hello. This is the history of the 12 days of Christmas. There's one Christmas carol that has always baffled me. What in the world do leaping lords, French horns, swimming swans, and especially the partridge who won't come out of the pear tree have to do with Christmas? From 1958 until 1829, Roman Catholics in England were not permitted to practice their faith openly. Someone during the era wrote this carol as a catechism song for young Catholics. It has two meanings, the service meaning plus the hidden meaning known only to the members of their church. The partridge in the pear tree was Jesus Christ. The two turtle doves were the Old and New Testament. Three French horns stood for faith, hope, and love. The four calling birds were the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The five golden rings recalled the Torah or Law, the first five books of the Old Testament. The six geese a-laying stood for the 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming represented the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leadership, and mercy. The eight maids a-milking were the eight Beatitudes. Nine ladies dancing were the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The 10 lords a-leaping were the 10 commandments. The 11 pipers piping stood for the 11 faithful disciples. The 12 drummers drumming symbolized the 12 points of the belief of the Apostles' Creed. So there's your history for today. May God grant you peace and happiness through this Christmas season.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders and wonders of His love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings,
sing glory to the newborn King. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
You guys want to be seated, and if you kids will come down and help me, I have something for you to do. One of the things that we like to do around our house is have lots of nativity scenes, so I need you to come down here. We're going to read the Christmas story. Debbie's going to read the portion from Luke, and Sue's going to read the portion from Matthew. But I need you to come and get on each side of the table. Can you get on each side? Kind of get around on each side of the table, okay? And let me get this box. We have many nativity scenes at our house, and through the years, the kids always were interested in playing with those items. And so early on, Jennifer created a nativity scene made out of felt figurines on a wood block. And so we're going to read the Christmas story, and before we start that, We're going to hand out the blocks, okay? Remy, there's you a block, and there's you a block. And Anna, there's you a block. All right, yeah, there's you a block. All right, there's a block, and here's a block. Okay, and there's a block, and there's a block. Okay, now I got some extra blocks here. Okay, so let me look. We got you got a shepherd, Remy, and you've got a shepherd, yeah, all right. And we've got that's Joseph right there, a king and an angel, and Mary is in there somewhere. Where's Mary? You think I have it? I do have Mary. I do have Mary. Okay, so Anna, you have Mary here. Okay. And we have a sheep. Anybody want a sheep? Okay, and there's a baby Jesus down there. And we got another sheep here. And so we're going to kind of, this is going to be kind of an interrupted Christmas story because as we get to the characters, you got to give us time to build the scene here. So, you need a, that's the donkey. And I got a cow. Who doesn't have two? Somebody who doesn't have two? Okay, here we go. All right, and so that's a shepherd. Okay, so what I need you to do, okay, everybody listen. We're going to listen very closely to the Christmas story. And then what you do is when you hear about your person, then we're going to put your person in the scene, okay? So we're going to put Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in the center, and then the wise men and the shepherds, and we'll put the animals around. So we'll kind of cripple through this. So Debbie, we're going to let you start and help us with the, you're going to just kind of read through it. And I may interrupt you as we kind of build the scene here.
This is the story of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register.
Keep going.
So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born.
Okay, stop for just a minute. We got to have a Mary and a Joseph. Here's Joseph. So we need Joseph here. And we need Mary here. We want him to face the crowd. Okay. And where's baby Jesus? Where's baby Jesus? Okay, so we're going to put baby Jesus here. Now, we're at the stable, so we got to have a cow and a sheep. Got some sheep? Joseph, yep, okay. Let's put some sheep here. And there's a cow right there. Okay, so we got a cow. Do we have a donkey?
Donkey.
Oh, all right. All right. So we get the donkey in here as well. There's the donkey. Do we have any more sheep? You have another sheep. Okay, so let's bring another sheep over here. Okay, put him right there, Remy. Don't fall. Okay, so hang on for a minute. Now, the shepherds haven't appeared yet, so hang on to your shepherds and wise men. Okay, continue.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around him.
Okay, hang on just a second. We gotta have shepherds. Okay, here's a shepherd. Can we have another shepherd? Yeah, we're going to put him over here by the sheep. Okay, can you put him right there? Okay, put him right here. And that's it. Okay, so we got shepherds. Okay, everybody hold steady. Very good. And the angel of the Lord appeared. So let's put the angel where she's real tall, okay? How about that? That work for you, Autumn? Okay, good job. Good job.
And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
All right, so now we've got the nativity. This is the way it was on the night that Jesus was born, okay? Well, we're going to get to the wise men, but what I want you to understand is the wise men didn't come on the night Jesus was born. They saw his star, they had read about it, and they'd studied about it, and it took them maybe a year and a half to get to where Jesus was. But they're part of our Christmas story, and so we include them in the nativity. Okay, what I want you to do, if you've already put your character on, slip over on each side of the communion table on those wings over there, because we want the people to be, I want you to be able to see, because we're going to sing Away in a Manger in a minute. If you still got your wise man, hang on just a second, because he hadn't come into the store yet. So if you want to slip around to the side of the table there and be ready to sing, okay? And then we're going to read about the wise men.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is this Christ was born to be? The Christ was to be born in Bethlehem in Judea." They replied, "For this is what the prophet was written: But you, Bethlehem of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exact time and star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, and so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Oh, coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him.
Okay, pause for just a minute, Sue. Okay. So now the wise men have come to the house. So we're going to put them over here on this side. We need all the wise men over here. Okay, you can just set them behind the donkey there. Okay, you guys take your wise men over and set him over there. Put them beside each other so they can be seen. There you go. Anna, let's put yours right here. Put him right here behind the donkey. Okay, there you go. Put him right there. Okay, now if you guys will have a seat on each side of the table, so your parents can see you. Okay, can you come over here, Autumn? Can you come over this side? Okay, Anna, you want to sit down with these guys? Okay, you can go this side. No. Okay, don't lean on the table. Go one side. Go to the side. Okay? All right, so finish the story.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. They, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Okay, so let's sing one more song before you guys have to go today, okay? Because we're going to sing, and then we're going to have prayer, and then you guys are going to be seated with your parents, okay? But let's sing about the nativity. Let's sing Away in a manger. Okay? You guys want to come down and join us? Oh, Isaac, I didn't even realize you... I'm sorry. Isaac's been up there being good, and I was here. We were with the Christmas story. Come on in. Come on in and stand behind these guys. Okay. Come stand behind them. All right. And let's sing all together, Away in the Manger. Word of prayer with y'all before you go. Okay, let's pray together. Because whose birthday is Christmas? It's Jesus' birthday. And so that's who we want to celebrate, isn't it? All right. That's, well, that's true. If your birthday was on Christmas, you would get Christmas presents and birthday presents. But we want to be sure, and when we wake up on Christmas Day, who do we want to be sure and think about? Jesus, that's right. Okay. You wish your birthday was on Christmas Day too? All right. Well, let's pray together, okay? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate this beautiful Christmas season. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And Father, we celebrate the birth of Jesus in this season for all that it represents and for all that he is to us, giving us the opportunity for salvation and eternal life with you. Father, we pray for our families today. We pray that as they gather, even this weekend, Father, some of our people are away from us right now because they're spending time with their families. As they've tried to adjust to work schedules and people living miles away, they have to get together when they can. So, Lord, we pray for all of those folks who are not with us this morning because of those gatherings, that you would go to their gatherings. May the Holy Spirit fall upon their gatherings. May they have a holy presence in their time together as family. And Father, we pray that you would bless them into the new year and that you would help them to have a prosperous new year and that you would bring a blessing into their home as they lift up Jesus, make you Lord of their lives and Lord of their homes. We thank you for these children. Lord, we love the children. And Christmas is really, in a large way, about children because it was the birth of the Christ child and the giving of gifts is such an exciting time for kids. And so, Lord, we just thank you for each of them. We pray that you'd help them to grow into wonderful Christian young men and women and to be productive in society and be a light to their world. Father, we just pray your blessing upon all that's going on. We know sometimes Christmas is a very difficult time for people. And so, Father, we pray that whether this is a time of rejoicing or whether maybe it's a heavy time, that your presence would be felt, that people would know that they're not alone, that they would know that they have a Heavenly Father who loves them and cares for them. And we pray that you would just be a part of all that is a part of this season. And for all of this, we will be eternally grateful. Touch our people who are sick today. We pray that you'd bless them and bring healing into their body and lives. We pray that you'd touch those who might be financially oppressed. We pray that you would give them provision. And we pray, Lord Jesus, most of all, that each of us would make sure that our sins are forgiven and our heart is right, as you have given us the opportunity to do through the birth and death of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your care for us, and it's in his name we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, you all may be seated. Thank you so much, Brad. All right, we've reached that point in the service where we light our Advent wreath. I've asked Daryl and Pam to come and help us this morning. Now, they're kind of past the one-year mark, but as we visit with some of our new folks, being in the spotlight is not their cup of tea. And so some of them were not able to be here today because they were going to family gatherings. But we just want to make a real quick mention. You know, we are so excited for all of you who came to church new this year, we are glad that you are here. And we are glad that you are part of our family. And Daryl and Pam have been so wonderful and just involved themselves in so many ways. And they kind of bailed me out this morning. And we've had several of our new families up in these first 3 weeks. But I just want to recognize some people. We're so glad the Rausches are with us. They've come to us new. They've been with us some in the past, but came to us in this past year. Bonnie Smith is here this morning. They've come to us in the last year. And, of course, Ray and the Schofields and others that have done the candle through the earlier weeks of this month. We are just so thankful that all of you are here. But we're also thankful for those of you who, some of you have been here for a really long time. I've been here 30 years, and there's a couple of you who've been here longer than me. And so we are glad for every one of you who are here and a part of this church family. But Daryl and Pam have consented to help us this morning by lighting our four candles and reading our Advent poem today.
To the Evergreen Circle we return again, a celebration of Christ's coming to save us from sin. Four flames will flicker round the ring today, the fourth of, for Mary, or peace for which we pray. The holy night came, no room in the inn, but the baby was born, peace on earth to men. In the flesh God came and among us did dwell, till he died on the cross to save us from hell. It's a wonderful season full of joy and cheer, a sacred celebration we anticipate each year. We sing and we pray, and the story we read. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. You're everything we need.
Would you take time to welcome all of our new families that have come in this year? Well, Christmas really is about the kids, and we had talked about how we wanted to do worship. And I'll just be honest with you, one of my fears when we do the Swearingen Family Christmas, one of my fears is that it looks like that we're trying to promote our family. And so I talked to the Sunday School Ministries Board about this, and I said, listen, is this a tradition that you enjoy, or is this just something you tolerate because I do it every year? And so I would be very interested in your feedback as we finish today, that if this is something that you enjoy and is meaningful to you, we'll be glad to continue it. I enjoy it, and it's our gift to you. But we want to be sure that it has meaning and that it is a ministry and it is worship. And so that would be helpful to us along the way. But one of the things that we talked about is you can't Christmas just isn't Christmas without kids, and so we thought you might enjoy hearing from your kids as a part of this this Christmas morning, and they helped us build the nativity. But we have a little special presentation for you at this time.
Family Christmas. Okay, so if you could be anyone in the Christmas story, who and why? Who could you be? Who would you be? Avery?
Mary,
okay. Autumn?
The angel.
The angel? Okay.
God,
okay.
Jesus,
okay. What does Christmas mean to you? Remy, we'll start with you.
It's about Jesus' birthday and...
Okay.
Key!
You can't remember? Okay.
The same thing.
Same thing? Okay.
And family.
That's a good one.
Oh, I forgot to say
family. Okay. Avery?
Giving.
Giving? Okay. What's your favorite thing about Christmas? Avery, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? Okay, we'll go to Autumn and we can come back to you, okay? Autumn, what's your favorite thing about Christmas?
Get presents.
Get presents, okay.
Giving people stuff and having Christmas.
Opening presents and giving presents and being with my family.
Awesome. Avery?
Being with family.
Being with family? Okay. What do you want for Christmas? Now, this is the most important question, isn't it?
American Girl doll.
American Girl doll. What do you want, Remy?
$300.
$300? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and I want a phone.
And a phone?
I also want a phone.
I want one.
Wow.
I like it.
What do you want, Autumn?
Stuff, I
a phone? You said you want something else at home, but...
I want a phone, yeah.
What else do you want?
A baby brother.
Oh. Avery, what do you want for Christmas?
An easel.
An easel? Awesome.
What's an easel?
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. Can you say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Okay, if you could be anyone in the Christmas story, who and why?
Joseph.
Joseph, why?
Because he's the most hardworking person.
Okay.
He was the one who thought his wife was cheating on him.
Okay. What's your answer?
Angel, Adam.
Angel? Okay.
Jacob, how about you?
You don't know?
Just name one.
Who's your favorite person in an activity?
I just don't know what you're talking about.
The Christmas story.
Jesus, the birth of Jesus. So.
Jesus?
Jesus, okay.
Joseph's wife.
Joseph's wife? Well, that's interesting.
Hey, I didn't get that part.
An angel, okay.
No,
this morning,
I thought he was talking.
This morning, when let him have a drink, he was like, oh.
What does Christmas mean to you? We'll start over here.
Celebrating Jesus' birthday.
Celebrating Jesus' birthday?
Family and celebrating Jesus' birthday.
Okay.
Getting presents.
Jesus' birthday and
seeing
family.
Okay.
Family and Jesus' birthday.
Okay.
Not necessarily in that order.
What's your favorite thing about Christmas?
We've always put up the nativity, or we do an advent calendar.
Cool.
Decorations.
We get new toys.
Probably spending time with family.
Same family and friends.
That's good. What do you want for Christmas?
An American Girl doll. To see family. Everything that it brings me has to be related to Pokemon.
That's mean to say.
A kitten.
Kitten?
On chaplains, no, a bunny.
A bunny, okay.
Bunnies kind of stink.
Well, can you all tell everybody Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
What's Christmas without the kids, you know? And the cool thing about doing these kind of clips is when you're not around, they give real answers, you know, and kind of speak from their hearts. But I am so excited, and I want to say thanks to our Sunday school teachers. I want to say thanks to our parents, because the truth of the matter is there's not a kid out there that doesn't get excited about presents. Let's just be honest. We adults get excited about presents sometimes. But the bottom line is these kids know. And that's what's exciting, is to hear them say, Christmas is about Jesus' birthday, and virtually every one of them appreciates their family and the time that they spend together. So I think we're in pretty good shape for the future, don't you? Amen. We're doing well. Well, we're talking about family. And it just so happens that we have a very special family here this morning because they have four generations that are present. And we knew there was a couple of possibilities here, but only one of them is actually all here this morning. And so I think, honey, you've got a mic right there. Bert, Janet, Stephanie, and Lizzie, we'd like for you to come here just to the communion table for a minute. And one of the things that we've done in the past is talked about Christmas memories from the Swearingen family. But we thought it might be enjoyable this morning to hear from another family in the church. And so we want you just to share with us, if you would, Bert and Jan, Stephanie, anything you want to add, you feel free to do that. But share with us, hold that close to your mouth, Bert, and that way everybody can hear. But share with us, just face the folks and share with us maybe a special Christmas tradition or a particular Christmas that you remember. Aren't you excited to see four generations of family in church this morning? Isn't this great?
Well, I've been around here for a long time. I've been around here longer than the pastor has, in fact.
That's right.
My partner has been gone for two Christmases now. We sure miss him. But family is important. We're gathering at Janet's house Sunday night, and there will be 19 family there, which I'm very, very thankful for. I have family in Oklahoma, and they will be getting together too. And I miss being with my immediate family, but my three youngest sisters are gone. But I wish you all a Merry Christmas and hang in there as long as you can.
I was going to share a quick, funny Christmas memory I have of my grandma, Bert, and that is that I was one of only two granddaughters. The rest were grandsons, room full of grandsons. And every Christmas, Grandma Bert insisted that my cousin Melissa and I would try on and parade around the room in whatever clothing she gave us for Christmas, even if it was a nightgown. And if those of you that know me know how embarrassed I get easily, and those of you that know my Grandma Bert know how persuasive she can be when she wants you to do something that you're not doing. So that's a funny memory I have. But in all seriousness, my grandma and grandpa made the best home, not just for the holidays, but all the time. I have the best memories with them, and memories I'll cherish for the rest of my life. But it was always a loving environment and warm and delicious food that Grandma made. So, Mom, I'll get her.
It is really, really special to have all of us coming to church together. And as much as we miss my dad, he was the rock that kept us all together. And I am so blessed to have two siblings, and we're all serving the Lord, which just says a whole lot. But Christmas with her has made Christmas a little bit more special. One of the things that I remember as a child growing up at Christmas time was when we would gather at Mom and Dad's I wasn't a child, I was grown. We would go to Mom and Dad's every Christmas Eve. And we would get as many as we could into vehicles and go look at Christmas lights. And we always saw Santa Claus up in the sky. We always got a report where he was, and we would find him. That's my good memories. So that's it.
Thank you all so much. Yep. Mm-hmm. was anyone like him. Never will one be the same. Tiny babe, infant king, Savior, worship and honor the power of his name. Where he went, love was there also. Where he was, love showed the way. Those who saw knew he was holy. And I see what they saw to this very day. He came special, delivery wrapped up in love, bound by a promise, sealed by a dove, filled with the Spirit, carried by grace. He knew where he was going by the look on his face. When I'm called, I will go gladly. I will not grieve for the past, for I know where I'll be going. And I will be going to see him at last. Going special delivery, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise, sealed by love, filled with the Spirit, carried by grace. You'll know where I am going by the look on my face. I'm going special delivery, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise, sealed by a dove, filled with the Spirit, carried by grace. You'll know where I am going by the look on my face. I look on my face. I'm going special. There we go.
All right. I've got a stand to read. I'm a teacher. I'm used to standing. I think this poem's called The Gift. Gary so graciously let me read it in front of you all today, even though most of you probably don't know who I am. But that's okay, because I'm a good reader. So, Christmas season is among us, and shoppers are on the fly, running around like crazy, looking for gifts to buy. So many things to look for as they glance down on their list. Pretty bows and wrapping paper to cover all those gifts. So many toys to choose from for little boys and girls. Computers, games, and pretty dolls as their heads begin to whirl. Got to get a Christmas tree to decorate so well. Ornaments and tinsels and lots of shiny bells. An angel for the treetop, a crib scene on the floor. Stockings on the windowsill and a wreath to grace the door. Lights to put onto the house for all the neighbors to see. And mistletoe to hang above so kisses will be free. Looking for that perfect gift, it seems so hard to find. To give that special someone who lingers in your mind. So out the door and to the store and to the mall again. Got to find that perfect gift to give to that dear friend. Finally tired and all worn out and about to fall apart. But if you look, it's always been right there within your heart. a gift that money just can't buy, for it comes from God above. A gift to cherish for a lifetime. It's called the gift of love. So if you can't find what you're looking for, it won't be on your list. You'll have to search from deep within to give someone the gift.
And just before I share with you this morning about the gift that God has given us, we have a couple of gifts that we want to share from our church family to some folks who make a difference in what goes on in here week to week. And so, Sue Montgomery, if you and Janet would come forward, please. Sue is our office manager, and she's the one who kind of keeps things rolling. And so we appreciate the work that she does day in and day out in keeping things happening. And she covers my back a lot through the course of the year. And so from your church family, we want to say we love you and appreciate the work that you do. Janet volunteers. She and Steve works with the choir a couple times a year with the cantatas, and we're trying to get them to do some more things along the way. But Janet prays and thinks through and tries to find God's direction week to week in our worship services, and plays the piano and does all kinds of things. And so we want to say to you and Steve, Janet, this morning, thank you so much. Would you appreciate these folks? You know, it's interesting as we listen to those kids talking this morning, and as I said already, that I don't think there's a one of us here that didn't go through at least a phase in our life where when we thought about Christmas, gifts is what we thought about. Most of us, a good part of us, probably were raised in Christian homes, and certainly we know it's Jesus' birthday, and that's a significant part of the deal, but it's almost like we're excited that it is Jesus' birthday, but because Jesus is not here visibly, and since we can't give Jesus a present, then what we've done through the years is we've taken that concept of giving, and we've tried to follow through on that by giving to each other as an expression of our love, not only for each other, but of our love for God and the fact that he loved us and sent his son, and the fact that Jesus gave his life, and those kind of things. And I remember, I'm sure, how many of you can remember one or two really special Christmases where you had wanted something very badly and maybe you thought it would just be almost impossible to get, but come Christmas morning, there it was under the tree or however your tradition went, maybe Christmas Eve night, but that very special thing that you'd wanted so badly was there and you opened it and enjoyed it. How many of you had that experience at some point in time in your life growing up? That's a very wonderful experience to have. I remember probably a couple of things in particular. And one was the year that my brother Eddie, who's 3 years older than I am, we oftentimes, when it came to some of the major presents, we either got things together or maybe it would be something similar. But I remember the year that we got Stingray bicycles. How many of you remember Stingray bicycles? Banana seats, high-rise handlebars, candy apple red. They were the bomb, you know. And so, interestingly enough, there's very few white Christmases in the state of Missouri. But on the year that we got our bicycles, there was about 8 inches of snow on the ground. But we rode them anyway. And that was a fantastic summer. And I also remember, how many of you remember when G.I. Joe was 12 inches tall instead of 4 inches tall? And I remember getting those G.I. Joes one year. And my brother and I both got G.I. Joes. And then come summer, we got in trouble because We weren't able to afford all of the accessories, so we created our own, and so we would get in the front yard and get two big red kerchiefs, and we would build tents, and we would set G.I. Joe beside the tent, and then we would take darts and throw them across the yard and stick them in G.I. Joe, and, you know, that have the attack going on, and then we got in trouble for our G.I. Joes having dart holes in them, but not nearly as much trouble as we got in for the dart that came into my thigh. And my brother and I were trying to get in the house and read the encyclopedia on puncture wounds so we would know how to doctor ourselves without our mom and dad finding out. At any rate, you know, those good Christmas gifts can lead to all kinds of atrocities sometimes. But at any rate, so gift giving is great. You know, as an adult, probably one of the most exciting moments in my life was, I think one was on the receiving end, one was on the giving end. I remember one time Jennifer bought me a set of books called Alexander McLaren's Expositions on the Holy Scriptures. It's like a 14-volume set, and that's when we were poor. We didn't have kids then, and we were in our early church, and so I knew that she had put back money for a long time to order those, and that was a pretty amazing morning to open that gift. But I remember the year. How many of you know what a Sony Walkman is? Okay, well, Cody, one year when he was about, I don't know, 13, he wanted a Walkman. A Discman. Okay, so time flies when you're having fun. Any rate, it was a fairly significantly priced gift for us at that point in time. But Jennifer and I scratched and scraped, and we figured out a way to do that. And, you know, probably one of the coolest things is when you give something to someone that really means something to them and to watch them open that gift. What a fantastic moment that is, you know. And he's kind of walks in his father's footsteps, and so he's bawling, I'm bawling, and everybody's trying to have Christmas, and we're bawling. And so at any rate, you know, gifts are great. It's a fantastic thing to be able to give, and obviously it's a pleasurable thing to be able to receive. I want us to think for just a few moments this morning about the gift. And I want us to think first about the giver. You've heard the Christmas story. I'm not going to read through that portion again. In Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2. Justin, if you want to, you can flip those scriptures up just kind of for them to read while I'm talking here. But I'll not take time to stop and read them this morning because we've already read them. But to think about this, I don't know if this affects you, but to think that the creator, sustainer of the universe cares enough about me to want to give me something. To think that the being who is in control of everything that happens in the world as we know it, that he has ultimate sovereign control and that he wants to be connected to me just blows me away. There's a verse of scripture in Exodus chapter 33 in verse 17 where he's talking to Moses and he says, I know you by name, Almighty God. The Heavenly Father knows me by name. But beyond that, we can read in the passage of Scripture in John chapter 10 and verse 3 where he speaks also about Jesus, you know, being the Good Shepherd and calling us by name. But in Matthew 10:30, he talks to us about having the hairs on our head numbered. Now, that's a pretty intricate detail, I think. So the God of heaven can look across this crowd this morning, and if he were here, visibly present, even though it would be a trivia question, we could say to him, how many hairs on my head? And he would tell us. Doesn't that kind of humble you in some way to think that the God of heaven knows every intimate detail about us? He knows everything we've blown, everything we've done wrong, everything we've messed up all the time. But he loves us anyway. And he loves us so much that he wants to have a relationship with us. And he loves us so much that in order to have that relationship, he'll pay the cost of it. I mean, let's think, who's getting all the benefit here? If God claims us and God adopts us, what does God get out of the deal? More trouble. I mean, he's got to raise us. He's got to teach us. He's got to train us. He's got to put up with our flaws and our failures and all those kinds of things. But the great God of heaven wants to be a part of our life. And Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says this, that he has plans for me. Not to harm me, but plans to give me a future. The creator, sustainer, sovereign God of the universe knows me my name, has the hairs on my head numbered, and has a plan for my life in particular. And so the giver gave a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life, life everlasting. The greatest gift that's ever been given was given in Jesus Christ. I ran across something that I thought might interest you to hear. Sometimes these odds just astound me. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies regarding Christ. He says the chance that any man might have fulfilled all 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That would be 1 in 100 quadrillion. I don't know what that means. It's just a lot. Stoner suggests that we take 10 to the 17th silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all of the state 2 feet deep. Now mark one of these silver dollars and stir the whole mass thoroughly. Blindfold a man and tell him he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up the one marked silver dollar. What chance would he have of getting the right one, Stoner concludes? Just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing those 8 prophecies and having them all come true in one man, providing that they wrote them in their own wisdom. But the truth is, they didn't write them in their own wisdom. They wrote them under the inspiration of a holy God who knew exactly what he was doing. And when I think about this gift, you know, part of the fun of Christmas is unwrapping presents. Now, some of you go to a painstaking type detail to wrap presents and to match paper. And I can take paper and I can cut it. And if Santa Claus is beheaded or whatever when you wrap the paper, it's okay. It's colorful. You unwrap it. But I know people that when they cut the wrapping paper, then everything has to fit and look right and do right and be right. And so then on Christmas morning, you know, when people shred it, it's kind of like, what was the point? You know, I don't know. But the wrapping is an important part of the gift, just so it disguises for that little bit of time longer what is inside. And so I thought it would be interesting to unwrap Jesus this morning. Just for a moment to unwrap Jesus, to think about this fact, that he was born in a manger. There's a reason for that. It's a common place. We know that part of the reason the Magi ran into the difficulty they did is because they were looking for a king, because they saw a star that represented a king according to their culture and knowledge. So why would anybody be surprised that they went to the palace? Where do kings live? But their king had been born in a manger, and when they found him, he was living in an ordinary house. I believe God did that on purpose to help us understand that God sent Jesus for everybody. No matter how common, no matter how average, no matter what our position in life. And you know, they say that if you repeat something multiple times, that maybe eventually you memorize it. And so there was other things that he did to tell us that indeed this gift was for everyone. I mean, stop and think about the information here, that on that night when it took place, that star went up in the heavens, that there were shepherds in the fields. And people debate the time of Jesus' birth because they say there were no shepherds in the fields in December. The truth of the matter is there was a group known in a city named, I can't remember the name of the city, but they were known to be close by in this area to the temple, and they were keeping the temple flocks that were the sacrificial lambs used in the temple, and they kept them in the fields all year round. It's a known fact. And so there's lots of things that are possibilities, and I'm not declaring that December 25th is indeed the actual birthday or those kind of things. I'm just saying that a lot of things that people try to say, oh, that couldn't happen, or that's not even, it's there. God hasn't messed up. He didn't get anything wrong. You know, this is all factually known at times and places. And so here were these shepherds out in the fields, and the angels appeared to them. Shepherds, that's the lowest occupation in the social culture. That's where the least of the least go. That's what you do when you can't do anything else. You're a stinky, smelly shepherd. But who did Jesus get announced to first? The lowest of the low. But on that same night, when that star went up in the sky, while it was another year and a half before they arrived, magi, astrologers, wise men, people who would be close to a palace, close to a sovereign ruler, men of wealth, men of prestige, saw a star in the sky and said, "We're off. Not to see the wizard. Not to follow the yellow brick road. But to caravan across miles and miles and miles of desert and land to see a king. The one who was born king of the Jews. The one who was born for us." These men of prestige. So God has covered the entire social spectrum from the lowest of the low to essentially the next to the king. He's covered the whole spectrum. So here is Jesus wrapped up in all this pomp and circumstance, and yet nobody really realized it until now, us looking back on it, because all they saw was a baby in a manger that night. But there were people that recognized him all along the way. And then when you stop and back up into Matthew chapter 1 and you read about the genealogy and the lineage of Jesus, I just think it's tremendously significant excuse me, that when we look at the wrapping of Jesus, that in a culture where everything was supposed to look perfect, where men were flaunted and women were nothing, that when you look in the genealogy of Jesus, you find that the line of Jesus is not purely Jewish. Ruth was a Moabite. The line is not morally pure, because listed in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 is Rahab, who was a prostitute. Bathsheba, who was an adulteress. Tamar, who had been in incestuous relationship. And Manasseh, who was an idolater and a horrible ruler. And yet all of these people are named, saying, here's Jesus' family. Have any of us ever experienced times when we just assumed people didn't know who our family was? You know, most of the time we're proud of our family, but every once in a while things happen. It's like, man, I hope nobody finds that out. So here's this Jesus all wrapped up in this genealogy, wrapped up in this news going to this whole spectrum of people. So here's the gift. The Son of God, given to the world so that God could be one of us. And he puts him in the most common of places, announces it to the lowest possible class of people, but also notifies the best of the best. Because he said, whoever. And so you've got this gracious giver, and you've got this fantastic gift. So where's our gratitude? What's the response? Justin, can you give me that Romans chapter 12 and verse 1? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The shepherds went to worship him. The magi traveled to worship him. And they brought with them gifts. And I have here in this box gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Now, to this day, frankincense and myrrh are pretty much worthless in value. But in Jesus' day, frankincense and myrrh carried the same value as this gold. The gold is a gift fit for a king. The incense was burned in the temple and is a gift for a priest. and the myrrh was used inside burial cloths to mask the odor of decay of the body, signifying Jesus' death. God didn't miss a lick. These guys didn't randomly pick gifts. These gifts were divinely ordered to represent the offices that Jesus holds to the world. And that gold, I'm sure, came in handy on the trip to Egypt to pay for whatever it would cost to go and to stay and to eat and all the things that would happen. So in those great gifts, our Savior was cared for. Our response is to give the only gift that we have that's of value to Him. That's our life. A living sacrifice. It's our reasonable worship. There's a verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter 11 where God records, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Anybody here ever get tired? Anybody here ever get tired of this world? Tired of all the stuff that's going on? Anybody here ever been tired of being guilty? Feeling oppressed, put down? Jesus came to deliver us. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Jesus came that we could have our sins forgiven and that we could yield our lives to Him as a gift and that He could use them. Now, how many of you have ever gone through Christmas and just thought the tree was so pretty and the wrapping so beautiful that you didn't want to open anything and you just wanted to leave them there so you could just look at it? Nobody in their right mind celebrates Christmas that way. And yet, for centuries, the world has been taking the greatest gift that was ever given and they've been holding it at arm's length and never taking any advantage of it. The best gifts are when you open them and put them into practical use. The best thing that could happen, the greatest honor that you could give to God today, is to say thank you for the gift of Jesus by inviting Him into your heart. By allowing Him to do what He came to do and be for you what God wants Him to be, which is a Savior, a Messiah, a Deliverer. Be your brother, your friend, and so many more things. But every one of us has to make that choice. God's not going to force Him on us. And let's face it, sometimes we've received gifts from people when we didn't really even want to take the gift. And sometimes we worry because if we get a gift, we think we have to reciprocate by giving a gift. That's just kind of part of how it goes. God gave the gift because He loved us and because He wanted us to have it, not knowing. You know, ultimately He knows what we're going to do, but He didn't give it just because He knew that ahead of time. Because if He would have, He wouldn't have given it to ones I'm sure who were going to reject. But we all have the same opportunity this morning. The greatest gift that we can open this Christmas is to open up the wrapping of Jesus Christ and apply that gift into our lives, that we become a channel for God to reach out to a lost world. I hope you've done that this morning. But if you haven't, we're going to give you a chance right now. And if there's someone here who's not where they ought to be spiritually, if there's someone here who's kind of put Christ on a back burner, or maybe Christ isn't even a thought this morning, I can just tell you, life without Christ is not a life you want to live for very long. And where you're going to spend eternity without Christ is definitely not a place you want to go. And so I invite you and I encourage you to take advantage of the greatest gift ever given this morning and to open a place in your heart for the Lord Jesus. Bow with me this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to share our family with our church family. Lord, we pray that you indeed would just help us as we celebrate this Christmas season, that we will glorify and honor you and remember first and foremost that it's not about the presents, it's not about the food, it's not about even our earthly families getting together, that this day is about you. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of the things that we have done to commemorate and celebrate your gift and your giving by giving gifts to others, that Lord, we will not forget to remember it's your birthday. And that we'll do things to honor you and to remember you and to appreciate you on that day ahead of all other things we do. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you, we invite them to ask you into their heart, to confess their sin to you and allow you to forgive them. Lord, if there's someone here who's known you but has drifted off and they're just kind of doing their own thing, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would plead with them. And that, Father, they would make it a point to say, God needs to matter in my life. I need to do a better job. I need to go about things differently. And that they would prioritize their relationship with you because you certainly want to have one with them. You know our name. You have the hairs on our head numbered. You want to help us through the struggles of this life. You said, come unto me. So, Lord, we come this morning. Oh, come, let us adore him. We adore you this day. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for coming into the Swearingen living room this morning. Thanks to my family. I love my family. I'm proud of my family. Christmas is not as big as Thanksgiving. There were 81 of us at Thanksgiving. There were 60 of us last night here for Christmas gathering together. It's hard to get all the families together at Christmas time. But we love you. And we are so glad that God has allowed us 30 years in one place to love and to share and to worship together and to care for you. So thank you so much. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. There are treats for you as you leave this morning, a gift from the church family to you. And so we appreciate that so very much. Let's stand together. Here's how I want us to close this morning. If you have family here, I want you to get with your family. If you have family members here, get with your family. Okay? You're all pretty much there? Okay, if you find your family. Find your family. Okay. Here he comes. His family's working on him. He wasn't gonna get on the platform. We did get Steve on the platform. Family is a big deal to me, to us. Our family enjoys getting together. But our church family is a big deal to us as well. And so I'm going to ask Jennifer to just pray a prayer over our church families, asking God's blessing on you as you celebrate the Christmas season together and as we go into this new year, that you'll do it under God's umbrella of blessing.
I don't mean to break the spirit here, but I have taken a lot of razzing for my Thanksgiving night prayer. So, and you, those of you know who you are. So I just want to say, first of all, Merry Christmas to everybody. I'm so thankful to call you my church family. I'm thankful for the opportunity to pray. And I hope that everybody going into this next year will be excited about prayer. I don't care how long you pray. And just enjoy your relationship with God and know where He wants you to be and be there. So let's bow our heads. Father, we're glad to be in your house today, Lord. I thank you for each family that's represented here. Lord Jesus, I pray a special blessing on each individual, on each situation. Lord, you know that there are things that go on in every life that involve so many different people. One person's actions, one person's blessings, one person's troubles, whatever it is, Lord, affects many people, and especially those in families. And I pray that you would just work and mingle and be in the midst of all of their situations. Lord, I pray for joy for each one that's here today. I pray that during this season of Christmas and as we're celebrating Jesus, that we will all have joy in our heart and have that relationship with you that you desire for us to have. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the babe that you sent in the manger, Lord. And we just want to remember that not only through this Christmas season, but through the whole lifetime of our lives and our family members and everybody that's involved. Father, we just pray that everybody truly could find you as their Savior. We thank you again for this day. We ask that you bless this afternoon for everybody that's been here, and may they contemplate on the things we've heard today and bring us back together tonight. Lord, we love you, and we're so grateful for all that